Okay, it's about 10:14. Ron Ross here, and we have a special guest this hour. Her name is Pamela Weibel, MD. Good morning, Pamela.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show here, and you are in, is it Eugene, Oregon?
That's right.
All right. Well, our topic this morning is if Americans could design their own health care. I think it's safe to say that most Americans are tired of all the squabbling on Capitol Hill over all the health care reform. Not only are they tired of it, they're confused.
That's right. Yeah, it's been dragged through the mud. We've been slowed down to the point of, being ineffective, waiting for politician saviors. And I think that people would love to know what communities are doing all across this nation to basically redesign health care on their own.
I think the basic issue here is that President Obama is probably to be congratulated for at least taking on the subject of health care and trying to get something done. But with lobbyists and politics and political maneuvering and the whole partisan politics battle and right-wing talk show hosts adding to the confusion, I'm afraid the average American really doesn't know where we're at on this thing.
That's right. That's part of the method, is just to confuse, conquer, and divide. And well, Obama, you know, I have the utmost respect for him for taking this on and for, you know, basically still being alive in Washington right now and having a good attitude.
Dr. Weibel, tell us how you got fed up with the medical establishment and went straight to the community to design a new type of health clinic. What was new about it, and what was new about your approach?
Well, I was fed up because what I was essentially asked to do is work on an assembly line, and I was so tired of interrupting panicked patients in mid-sentence while they were crying to say, sorry, we're out of time. You know, I really just was dreaming of going back to my college waitressing job just so I could be nice to people again. And so I just hit the brick wall. I was in despair. I mean, it destroyed my soul to actually be rude to my patients. And essentially seeing, 30 patients a day and pushing them through, like I was some sort of a machine. So I decided to give up my profession for a period of time. I went into a depression because I love being a physician, and all I ever wanted to do was help people. And then I had this amazing epiphany where I decided, hey, instead of having adversarial relationships with my patients and being bossed around by third parties who have no idea how to run healthcare, I'm going to ask my community in a town hall meeting to come together and design an ideal medical practice. You know, their fantasy clinic. If they could have whatever they wanted, I would work there. I got 100 pages of written testimony, and that became the business plan. We were open 1 month later. It's not rocket science.
Yeah, and I understand it has to do with same-day appointments. Nobody's turned away because of a lack of money. Doctors who spend quality time with their patients, they even know their names. It sounds like an old Hollywood movie, almost too good to be true. But, Pamela, tell us why it works.
It works because I cut out all the unnecessary layers. I mean, yes, I still take insurance, the ones that are not abusive to me or my patients.
Yeah.
But in general, I have taken out so many of the middlemen that I now have all this time to luxuriate with my patients and relaxed appointments. I'm not running on an economic treadmill. I'm not trying to buy a big building on the block. I have a small office. People can come to my home and see me if they want in the middle of the night. I'm accessible. I'm like a friendly doctor that just lives down the street.
So are doctors across the country really going to be able to leave assembly line medicine behind and adapt something like your old-fashioned caring and medical attention model?
Yeah, certainly. If they see it as an option, it's just doctors have been, in a way, dumbed down and made to feel as equally as confused as the general public about health care. They seem to feel like it's complicated and they'd never be able to run their own practice. They don't see examples of their colleagues doing anything that's inspiring. So they sort of just, cope with it and go in. They're in survival mode. They're waiting to either escape through early retirement or maybe getting a job with a pharmaceutical company or becoming a lobbyist themselves. I mean, who knows? It's what we need to do, actually, pretty interesting, is study what they call these positive deviants, people that are doing things positively and they're successful at it. Instead of studying what's not working, if we look around and see, wow, here's a physician who's joyful and happy and her patients love her, I wonder what she's doing right. Maybe we could start emulating that.
But are you seen by the medical establishment as a wacky rebel or something?
Oh, no, no. I mean, a lot of people are intrigued by me. Yeah, I would say when I do my, I was a keynote speaker at these large medical conferences, a seven-city speaking tour, and I'd say about 90% of the physicians in the audience were actually just in love with what I was doing, and they came up and hugging me, crying me afterwards, thanking me for giving them hope. You know, 10% of them did think I was a little whacked out. But
yeah.
That's just because some people are never ready for change. Change scares people.
Yeah, that's
true. You're always
going
to have that minority of people who just can't accept that it's possible to live without cynicism.
I read where something like, I don't know if the figure was 78% of physicians really are unhappy with the way they have to practice medicine.
Yeah, it's about 78% of physicians are fatigued and overworked. 60% are looking for an exit strategy right now. So we can't afford to lose 60% of our physicians because they've already predicted a shortage of about 200,000 by 2020. So we need to keep our physicians, and physicians love what they do. They just have no idea how to practice medicine under the circumstances that we have today in 2009.
I know that a lot of patients wonder why when they go to see their doctor, they thought they had a good relationship with the doctor, but the doctor zips in, zips out, and they don't really get to have a conversation with him, and they feel slighted by that, but it's really, I guess, not the doctor's fault.
No, I mean, they're as victimized as the patients. But the thing is, a lot of patients tell me, well, they've had the same doctor for 10 or 20 years, and the doctor was fine until maybe 5, 7, 10 years ago when they just started to look tired, graying on their sideburns. They looked like very unhappy. And patients just have no idea how to help these physicians, and they're actually coming, you know, obviously for their own needs. So it's just hard to go to somebody who's actually in worse shape than you are asking for help, which a lot of doctors are in some pretty bad emotional and spiritual shape these days, you know.
I've also read that you feel the assembly line approach to medicine affects women more than men. Why would that be?
Because women are basically very relational. They're less competitive by nature, and they're just more into human relationships than nurturing. And for women to basically be asked to cut off their nurturing side and their ability to relate to people by having these fast appointments, I think it erodes just the very core of what it is to be a woman and be maternal. That's our natural instinct. I think it's a little easier sometimes for men to just, you know, buckle down and turn it into a game and see how many patients you can see a day and sort of compete on that bottom line money level and who can have the biggest clinic and get a trophy at the end of the day for the most number of patients. But I think it takes its toll on all of us, but I think for women it's very challenging.
What advice do you have for our listeners who don't have the luxury of an hour-long doctor visit? I mean, how can they get the care and attention they desire? Is there any way to do it in traditional medicine?
Well, I think first they could go to my website at idealmedicalpractice.org. There's a create your own clinic link with a map of physicians all across the United States who are doing things exactly the way I am. So there might be a physician in their area already who's practicing this sort of old-fashioned Marcus Welby-style medicine. And if they're not able to find one, I think they might want to sit down with their favorite physician because, you know, we all have had probably a favorite physician over the years and just be honest and say, look, you know, you're a great guy or gal, but you're looking tired. Do you know there's another way of doing this? There's doctors around the country who are, you know, going out on their own and practicing successfully, and maybe, you know, show them my website where I've got a list of doctors where they could contact and see exactly how they could get involved in this inspiring model. And I'm not the only one that has a new model. There's doctors all over the country that are looking for answers, and they're coming together with their patients and their community and designing it on their own rather than waiting, you know, for politicians.
I guess the bottom line question that's on the minds of a lot of us is, Dr. Weibel, why has medicine changed so much since the good old days of the house calls and the family doctors?
I think we've just We've accepted, you know, third-party insurance, and they have rules and regulations. We've just we've sort of been manipulated in a way, all of us. You know, we've succumbed to direct-to-consumer advertising, thinking that there's an easy pill to fix everything. And then I think the bottom line, really, is we've fallen into a culture of distrust and cynicism. So that, yeah, you know, there's always going to be criminals in every field. There's always going to be fraud. There's always that, you know, 5% of humanity that's always thinking, how can they personally benefit from something rather than helping the group? But what's happened is that we're all burdened with extra paperwork and extra tasks to try to prevent that fraudulent few from doing something that's wrong, so that 95% of us who want to do the right thing spend our entire day doing paperwork and jumping through hoops just to do, you know, the basic task that we want to do is provide care for other human beings.
And Pamela, my final question for you this morning would be, are you hopeful that something positive will come out of the health care reform that's being proposed now, or is it just totally out of whack?
Oh, I'm eternally hopeful, so nothing can change that.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. I'm sure just by having it on the table this long, just by bringing it to our attention again, I think it's wonderful, and I applaud Obama for this and everyone who's really trying their best in Washington not to get bogged down by the delays and the cynicism.
So do you see this this campaign that you've had to kind of revolutionize medicine and take it back to the way it should be, is that going to be a lifelong struggle for you?
Oh, I don't consider it a struggle at all. This has been actually very easy for me. It's definitely a lifelong passion. It's where my heart is, but it's a spiritual calling, and it is not a struggle at all. People think that this has been a struggle, but this has been effortless. You know, when you take away the adversarial relationship and you really do what people want, there is no more struggle.
All right.
It's quite simple.
So you've got plenty of patients, and they're happy. So, I mean, what could be wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong at all. In fact, this weekend you should come. We're having a patient appreciation pool party, 6 to 9 p.m.
Oh, man.
Saturday night, with a big cake that says my doctor loves me and catered Mediterranean food. And, you know, I'm having a big holiday party for the patients who've designed this clinic.
I don't think I've ever been invited to one of those before.
Probably not.
Dr. Weibel, what is your website again?
It's idealmedicalpractice.org.
All right. Well, congratulations on doing your part to change medicine, and continued success to you. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Ron. Have a great day.
All right. Dr. Pamela Wild, MD.